Amen. So 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. The word of the Lord says, and he came into the cave and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thine altars and they slain thy prophet at the sword, with the sword. And I'm the only one left. They seek my life and to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, a great strong wind rent the mountains and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there came along an earthquake. The scripture says this, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire came along. And guess what? The Lord was not in the fire. And after a fire, a still, small voice. A still, small voice. Now, I'm reading out of a different translation and you probably what some of you are reading out of, and I'm even looking at it in front of me in a totally different translation tonight, and I'm still seeing the same end wordings here, that a still, small voice. I read a story the other day, and it said that a young man had lost his job, and he didn't know which way to turn, and so he went to see the old preacher. That's what the story said, the old preacher. Why has he got to be old all of a sudden? But he went to see the old preacher, and pacing about the preacher's study, the young man ranted about the problem. And finally, the young man, he clenched his fist and he shouted. He said, I beg God to say something to help me out. Tell me, preacher, why doesn't God answer? You ever felt like that before? Why doesn't God answer? And I can see this young man. I can see him in my mind, just upset and ticked off and mad and taking it out on God and taking it out on the old preacher. And the old preacher who sat across the room, he spoke something in reply to the young upset man. Something so hushed, it was indistinguishable. And the young man stepped across the room and he said, what did you say, preacher? And the preacher repeated himself, but again in a tone as soft as a whisper. So the young man moved closer and he said, what did you say, preacher? And the preacher said the same thing again, and the young man had to move a little bit closer to hear what the preacher was saying, until he was leaning on the preacher's chair. Sorry, he said, I didn't hear you, preacher. And with their heads bent together, the old preacher spoke once more and said, God sometimes whispers, he said, so we will move closer to hear him. The preacher had to say that over and over and over for the young man to get a hold of what he was saying. And I want you to picture that. Finally, the young man, he had his head all the way against the preacher's head, bent over in the chair, and he said, what are you saying, preacher? I can't hear you. Sometimes God whispers just so that we will learn to move closer to hear him. You know, I don't know about you, but tonight I thought about this study and I thought about what I wanted to share with you. Now, we just got over, if you're visiting with us, we just got over a study and on the armor of God. And man, we broke down the armor of God. And just before that, we talked about spiritual warfare. So I begin to think, you know, where can we go tonight? I mean, it's been months that we've been kind of on the same line of study. But tonight I want to talk about something I want to share with you tonight that's a little bit different. And I want to share a thought with you tonight that sometimes God whispers for you to come closer for him to tell you what he wants to say. You know, I thought about my life and I thought about many of your lives. I thought about that we all want God's voice, to hear God's voice. Let me ask you a question to kind of make me feel better. Make sure I'm on the same page with some of you tonight. But how many of you would say in my life, tonight, right now, that I've got something that's going on that I need God to tell me? You need God. I need to hear from God. I need God to open it up. I need God to tell me, do I go left? Do I go right? Do I pursue the door? Do I keep the door closed? Do I ask? Do I knock? Do I seek? What do I do? What is the direction that I'm to take? How am I supposed to know that it's God that's speaking? You know, we all want God's voice to thunder through the air with the answer to our problems. I'm that way, man. I know that you are as well. We wish that God would rent a PA system and he would drive down our street shouting the answer to our questions so that we would have no doubt as to what we should do in this particular situation in life. You know, we wish that God would rent a billboard and post the instructions step by step that we need. I had some computer things and this person, you know, I can't stand it when they won't answer the calls. So you got to email back and forth. And finally, I just emailed this one company. I said, listen, I need a step-by-step for dummies, okay? Tell me. And sure enough, they sent me a step-by-step for dummies and to figure this thing out. And it was a lot easier, you know, for that to happen. And then I kind of got lost in one in one of the steps. And I said, I need a little bit more. So they sent me a video. And it was a much more of a help to me to figure some stuff out. And I thought about, you know what? Sometimes I wish God would just send a video to me. Sometimes I wish that I could just open up a file that's in my computer and in my email, and it would say, the file would be labeled as answers. And all I got to do is punch on that file, and all the answers to my questions in life just come up. And they'll tell you step by step, this is what you need to do, and here's where you need to go, and here's the next step in life. But how many of you know it doesn't exactly work like that? It's not that easy. Wish we could buy today's edition of the Chronicle and discover that God has taken out a full page ad and said, Bill, read this carefully. This is for you. It doesn't work like that. We all wish that God would just burst into our world and give us some concrete answers to nagging problems of life. But it doesn't work like that. We wish that he would just tell us sometimes why this is going on. You ever ask why? Anybody ever ask why? Oh, you too spiritual ask why, right? I ask why. I ask God many times, why, God? Why? Do I always get the answer? Not all the time. Do I get it most of the time? No, I don't. But it doesn't stop me from asking the question, why, God? Why? What's up with this? So we all wish that we could ask the nagging problems in life and find out why he has not chosen to heal us yet, why he has not chosen to meet the financial need just yet, why he has not chosen to save our lost loved ones just yet, why he does what he does. Why, God? Why do you do it in this certain order? We just wish there was no guesswork involved in serving God. You know, sometimes, listen, there's been things that have happened in life that it almost, Charlie, it seems like it's almost just give me a coin and I'm better off. You know, just flipping and saying heads and I'll do this and tails and I'll do this. I mean, it seems like sometimes it's just, you know, flip of a coin and I prayed prayers before and I said, God, if it's meant to be, the door will open. Whichever door, I've got door A, I've got door B, whichever one opens up. And one opened up, I was like, this has to be God. It's just got to be God. Now, some of you are thinking right now, either you are more spiritual than I am, or you're thinking, well, you should be more spiritual than what you are, Pastor. But I'll be honest, it doesn't always work like that. Now, there's been clear-cut things that I knew God was in some things. I knew God was working some things out. But on the other hand, there's some things that I'm like, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're trying to show me. I don't know what I'm supposed to discover here. I have absolutely no clue in what you're up to. And so it's frustrating to just know, not know what God is doing or what he wants me to do. And if he would only shout it out, if he'd only get a hold of a microphone and say, Connor,
hear the voice of the Lord.
I mean, how easy would that be? Man, it would just be such a blessing to me. Then I would know exactly what to do in life. See, many times we feel exactly like Job did. Job, in the book of Job, chapter 9, verse 32, 33, 34, and 35, here's what it says, that he is not a mere mortal like me, that I might answer him, that we might confront each other in court. If only there were someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together, someone to remove God's rod from me so that his terror would frighten me no more, then I would speak up without fear of him. But as it now stands with me, Job says, I cannot. So some translations in that, it says daysman. Ours tonight, the scripture, it says a mediator or a referee in some translations. So what Job is saying is this: I wish that I had a referee in life. I wish I had a mediator. I wish I had a daysman in life. Because Job said, because God is not speaking very clearly to me right now. I feel better because Job says that. I feel better about my life because Job even says that sometimes I'm not hearing God clearly. Job said, I'm afraid that I am misinterpreting some things that he is trying to say. Job said, I wish that someone could come down here, could hear God for me, and then tell me exactly what he is saying. Because right now, Job is saying, I have no clue what God is doing. I have no clue as to what God wants me to do, where God wants me to go, what God is trying to show me through this dilemma that I'm at in life. If he would shout, Job said, I would understand a lot better. See, if he would just come down here and tell me face to face, then I would understand. But right now, I can't hear and I can't understand what God is up to. You know, I think about this. We find ourselves in that same situation so many times in life, wanting to hear God in the shout, to hear God in the dance, to hear God in the noise. But God sometimes just whispers. And how am I supposed to understand what God is saying when he whispers? How am I supposed to hear God clearly when he whispers? Because my life is not quiet. Man, I got noise going on. And you know, there's twists and turns in life. And I don't know what God's trying to do. And do I just hold on and make the best of it and take the ride? A couple of weeks ago, we went to, where'd we go? Where was that place we went to? We went to a water park a couple of weeks ago, and man, there was this ride, and water park was filthy, and I don't like swimming in other people's urine and all that kind of stuff. But you know, for the kids, we went ahead and done it anyway. So you get these mats at this one ride, and everybody's got their own tube, and I'm out of breath because I'm having to climb up all these stairs, and you understand that, right? So we go up, and so the light is red, and you wait for the light to turn green, and man, as soon as it turns green, you just kind of jump and you go into this tube, and you don't know what happens. And luckily, I fit into the tube and everything was good, Tammy, just in case you were concerned about that. And so I took off, and man, I'll tell you, my wife, she got out. She was like, hold on,
contacts are in the back of my eyes, you know. And she was trying to find her contacts, and I mean, it was a mess, but it was amazing. As soon as you go down, you just, you know, you go down on this yoga mat, and you're holding on, and there's twists, there's turns, and I even think I went upside down one time. I don't remember, but you just fall, and then you come out, and you're just there. And I begin to think, I try to spiritualize some things, and I'm like, man, that's the way serving God is sometimes. You're going into the unknown. You're going on, you don't know where you're going. Sometimes you can't see things. Sometimes you can't hear things. I didn't know. Matter of fact, I found out that I'm a horrible father later on because I didn't even wait to see if my kids got in the tube fine. When the light turned green, man, I was more focused on, I'm going to win this race. I mean, I had these other guys that were on the tube and they were kind of giving me the glare, you know, and I was giving them the glare and like, I'm going to show you here. The light turned green and I didn't think, I was hoping Kimberly made sure the boys got through the tube and I was gone and I got first place. Come on. Come on. That's all right. So I won that thing, but I begin to think, man, the rest of the day, I was like, man, that's just the way God is. There was no direction up on this ride that said, you know, you're going to fall, you're going to turn left, there was none of that stuff. There was no warning that your contacts are going to go in the back of your eyes, may lose your swimming trunks. There's absolutely no warning about nothing. You just get on it and go. And the way serving God is sometimes the exact same way. You just go with it. And in that tube of thing called life, there are twists and there are turns and there are moments that are great, moments that are high, but then there's moments you're like, what are you doing, God? Where are we going with this? And it's a tube. It never ends. But we're called on to do this. Hold on. We're called just to hold on through it as we're going through this time and just to hang on the whole time. Well, I want you to understand, if he came down, if God came down and spoke face to face with us, I would understand. If God put a warning label and a map out, then I would understand better, but he doesn't always do that. Sometimes, again, he whispers what he's trying to do. He whispers what he's about to do. Well, in the story, in the scripture that we read to you earlier, Elijah, he found himself in a cave one day. And not only that, but I love this story because not only did he find himself in a cave, but he was feeling sorry for himself. Anybody, come on, be honest. If you ever felt sorry for yourself, threw yourself a little party, invited your own self to your party, blew your little whistle, had your hat, and you're the only one that came because nobody else really understood what you're going through, right? All right, good. I'm not the only one then. So you have your own pity party. Well, Elijah was in this moment. And the interesting thing about this story is not so much that Elijah was having a pity party. That's human nature, okay? It happens. Make you feel better. It happens. We go through those times that nobody knows the troubles that I've had. Nobody knows my sorrow. Nobody understands. Nobody seems to care. That's human nature. But the amazing thing to me is that he's having this pity party after God sent fire from heaven and destroyed 450 prophets of Baal. Man, if nothing else, Elijah should be walking around strutting his stuff like a rooster and feeling good about himself. That look what God has done. But oh no, he doesn't do that. In fact, the very day that this happened, God had so miraculously opened up the blast furnace of heaven and consumed the saturated sacrifice. Remember the story? Jezebel heard of it and said this, "Tomorrow you're dead, son." Oh, Jezebel sent word and said, "You go find that man and you tell him tomorrow at this time he's a dead man." And so after God's already consumed the sacrifice that was put on the altar, Elijah, feel good about this, great things. After God just took out the 450 prophets of Baal, Elijah, feel good. But no, Elijah gets a letter in the mail, certified to Elijah, opens up the letter, and the letter says this: "You're a dead man, Jezebel." And all of a sudden, man, he forgets everything that God has ever done in his life, and he begins to panic. He begins to worry. He begins to fret and to think, "What is God? What are you doing? God, why? Oh, God, help me. God, this. God, that." And Elijah, what happens? He runs in the desert. He says, "Oh, God, take my life now. Take my life. I can't handle this any longer." The Bible tells us this, that he runs up under a juniper tree. And I may do a sermon on that one day, so I don't want to go too deep in it. But juniper roots is what they use for brooms. It's what they use for to tie stuff down. It's their strong roots, and it's what we would use for ratchet straps today to tie something down. We know how to use ratchet straps, don't we? Tie everything down, right, Bill? And long story, you had to be there. But it's what you would put on your trailer, tie things down with, and the juniper roots. And so in the same way, so he goes and he hides himself and puts himself up under a juniper tree. Isn't it interesting? The same roots that are used to tie stuff down, and he goes and finds himself up under a tree calling out to God, saying, "God, would you just kill me? God, I can't do this in life. I can't go on in life anymore. I'm scared to death, and I'm worried this woman named Jezebel's going to come." And so what happens is an angel appears to him, feeds him, sends him on a 40-day journey into Mount Horeb. And it's here that we find our lonely prophet. It's here that God is about to teach Elijah a lesson. Now, I want you to see this. See, Elijah had no problem understanding God when the fire was falling and the altar was consumed. He had no problem understanding God when it was fire. He had no problem understanding God when the earth was shaking. He had no problem understanding God when the wind was blowing. He had no problem, but the one place that Elijah had never learned to listen to God was in that place where God spoke with a still, small voice. It was in that place that Elijah was panicking, that Elijah was having a freak out moment, that Elijah did not understand. And see, God was teaching him this lesson. And the lesson is this: I'm not always going to yell. He's teaching Elijah the lesson. I'm not always going to send fire to get your attention. I'm not always going to shake the earth to get your attention. Sometimes I'm going to take you to a prison cell. Sometimes I'm going to take you into a wilderness. Sometimes I'm going to take you into a desert. And for Elijah's case, sometimes I'm going to take you into a cave. And there, I'm going to speak to you. And God is saying that I'm only doing it because I can see you drifting away from me. And I want to get close to you again. See, sometimes, folks, we program God and we think that he has to move in the shout. We're a Pentecostal church. We love the shout. Well, glory! Yeah. Wrong church, right? Must be tonight. Well, hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Clap your hands together. Yeah. Woo! God is wonderful. God is great. God is a God of miracles, man. Great thing. You know, sometimes we program God to think that it has to be like that before God can speak. Sometimes we program God to think that the hoop and the holler has to go on all the time before God can move. Do you know what we have categorized a good church service as? The one where the preacher did not get to preach. It went from the music right into the altar service, and the preacher didn't even get to preach. We say, "Boy, that was a good service." How many of you have been guilty of saying that? I heard you before. We had a good sermon this morning. I mean, a good service this morning. Yeah, boy, that preacher didn't even get to preach. And that's what we categorize one as. So we have programmed God to think that there has to be a shout all the time. There has to be a hoop and a holler. Somebody's got to be doing a dance. I have to have the hair on the back of my neck standing up breakdancing. The hair on my arms, boy, they better be poking needles like needles through my shirt before I can feel God or think that God is speaking or think that God is moving. But sometimes, folks, we've got to understand this, that God whispers so that we will draw closer to Him. Sometimes God just wants us to, like the young man that was so frustrated in life, he kept having to move closer and closer to the preacher for the preacher to remind him. Sometimes God whispers so that you can move closer to Him. And we forget that in life. Perhaps there's a reason nothing draws human focus quite like a whisper. As a matter of fact, God whispers. God's whisper means that I must stop my ranting and I must move close to Him until my head is bent with His. And then as I listen, I will find my answer. Better still, I find myself closer to God. That's a good word there for somebody here today. We live in a society, folks, that is flooded with noise, with clutter, with confusion. Matter of fact, who used to watch Little House on the Prairie? Who still watches Little House on the Prairie? All right, good. Andy Griffith? Yeah, I remember. I love, man, staying home from school, and sick or not, it didn't matter to me. But sometimes my mama had that thermometer that you would put on top of your head. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a strip that you would lay on top of your head, and it gives the temperature. And I learned that, you know, while she's not looking, you just kind of rub your head and rub it all over like this right here. And when you put it on there, man, you're burning up hot all of a sudden. And she says, "This, just go on back to bed, baby. You're sick." And then I say, "Can I make a pallet on the couch?" "Yeah, that's fine." So I make a pallet on the couch, and I love staying home because in the morning times, man, after the news, then the good shows start coming on. When I was a kid, I don't know what they are now, but when the good shows and Little House on the Prairie would come on, and Andy Griffith would come on, and I Dream of Jeannie would come on. Is that the right show? That would come on, and I remember all this. And my mama was a Days of Our Lives fan, so when I was home from school, I just had to suffer and watch it anyway. But then there was a certain time of the day that the boring shows, the bad shows would come on, and the ones that when my friends got ready to come home from school, then all of a sudden the Lord has miraculously touched my body and I'm feeling better now, and my temperature broke and I'm good to go. But I've learned something about those early shows. I've learned the Little House on the Prairie. I've learned about Andy Griffith. I learned about the Junction, or Jericho Junction, Petticoat Junction. Yeah. So y'all shut up. Y'all just a lot older than I am. So I remember that in the song, Petticoat Junction. Woo-hoo, you know that one. So the show, if you ever watch it now, even today, because they're not making them anymore, but the show only had one problem in the whole show. One problem. I remember Andy Griffith, Little House on the Prairie, man, that was my favorite. I love Little House on the Prairie. And I remember the one show, you know, the little girl, she went blind, bless her heart, you know, and one problem, you know, there was a raccoon that had rabies, you know, and the whole show was about that one problem. But today's stuff, today, man, every time the camera moves, there's a different issue, there's a different problem. And amazingly, it's the other shows are kind of dull to us. Why? Because we are programmed in our minds to follow this scene and then this scene and then this scene and this scene, all wrapped into a 30-minute show. And there may be 15 different things that are going on. It's an age of more information but less communication. And as a matter of fact, Brett Burnett, you're going to appreciate this. I read statistics that there has been more information produced in the last 30 years than there was produced during the previous 5,000 years. And I don't know if we can verify that, but I do know that a weekend edition of New York Times contains more information than the average person was likely to come across in a lifetime during the 17th century. As a matter of fact, the first modern computer was built in 1944. It took up more space than a tractor trailer rig. It weighed more than 17 Chevrolet Camaros, and it consumed 144,000 watts of electricity. It could execute no more than 5,000 basic mathematic operations per second. And the 486 processor, which is now outdated, was built on a tiny piece of silicone about the size of a dime, weighed less than a packet of Sweet and Low, used less than 2 watts of electricity, and this amazing machine executed up to 54 million instructions per second. Now, if you have a digital watch on tonight, anybody got a digital watch on? Tells how many steps and answer you can talk on it and all this kind of weird stuff and answer and text on it and everything else. If you have a digital watch on tonight, you wear more technology on your wrist than existed in the world before 1961. And we've got a lot of stuff coming at us in today's time. Now, how is all this technology shaped our thinking? We are used to having what we want when we want it. We are used to receiving any piece of information we need when we need it. I mean, I wish y'all could hear Shirley Mangrum when that copier has just the slightest delay on it. Oh, man. Oh, she's in here. I didn't know she's in here tonight. I mean, she's blessing that thing out. I just have to shout back in there, repent! Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent for saying those words and hitting those copy machine. She says, well, it's just taking too long. I said, I'm sorry, it's taking 3 seconds instead of one that we're so used to. We want to treat God like the internet, folks. Just open a heavenly search engine, type out our question, push the button, and right then, give me the answer to what I need to do in life. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes God doesn't respond immediately with a wealth of information like the internet does. You think he'd be better than Google? He is better than Google, but his ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. See, sometimes God doesn't scream at us like the commercials on our television. Sometimes God still chooses to answer us in a whisper. Do we get mad at God? Sometimes it's frustrating, but sometimes he chooses to do that. Why? So that we would draw closer to him, to hear him better. To hear him better. Sometimes God still speaks to us in that still, small voice. That's why David said this in Psalms chapter 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in all the earth. Paul makes an interesting appeal to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 when he says this, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command you. I've never seen this scripture before, and I happen to have seen it just recently, that what Paul is saying is this: we need to study to be quiet. That's something we need. Paul's telling us, man, we need to practice to learn to be quiet. Sometimes in our prayers, and I'm a broken record because I say it a lot here, when you get done praying, don't just take off on your way and hurry out the door. Take a moment because he wants to talk back to you. He wants to share some things. He wants to speak to you. And Paul is saying here, we need to study just to chill out sometimes. We need to study and learn how to relax and calm down and take deep breaths. and not get in such a panic and not get you in such a hurry. Why? Because when we are ranting and raving and shouting and yelling and moving about lost in a movement of activity, we can't hear what God is saying to us. We can't always focus on what God is wanting to say and share to us. I don't have an answer for some of you tonight. Sorry about it. Okay, well, I'm still waiting on an answer. I can't give you that answer. I wish that I could. I don't know why, but he's not chosen to reveal them to us or to you specifically through the fire. I don't know why God hasn't chosen to answer your prayer and tell you when it's going to happen and when they're going to change and when this is going to come back together and when this great opportunity that you've been praying and hoping for years, when the miracle's going to come. Listen, I don't know why it hasn't come in the earthquake. I don't know why it hasn't come in the wind, but I do know this. If you will listen closely and draw near to him, matter of fact, get closer to him than where you are at tonight. It might mean moving across the room. It might mean putting your head against his head and hearing what he's trying to say to you. It makes sense, don't it? That God wants to whisper simply so we will draw closer to hear him better in our lives. I wish that I could tell you tonight, for your life and for your life and for your life and your life, here's the answers, here's the steps you need to take, but I don't have them. But I do know this, if we draw closer to him, we can hear his whisper. We can hear what he's trying to say. I love nothing more than to feel God in a service, man, and it's moving, it's loud, it's booming. Gary's over there hitting the cymbals and just sweating and going crazy, man. And I feel God, and I'm like, yeah, God's doing something, man. I feel prompt on this front row that God's saying, you need to do this in the service, and you need to. I love it, man. I love it. But there's times that I'm like, oh, God, what are you trying to do? In my life specifically, God, what do you want to do? And those are times that I've learned to say, you know what? He's trying to tell me, but I got to get closer to him to hear it. Why? Because it's a whisper. God still speaks to us, saints, but we may have to draw closer.